And I can't listen to the song without going back to knowing where it came from. And the scripture passage that is really the foundation for that song, Stand By Me. And certainly, that one verse in there, when my life becomes a burden and I'm crossing Chile Jordan, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. I guess at certain times all of us realize our weaknesses. This week as I was finishing up here, and I realized that my strength was beginning to fail, that my time is not very much longer, and I'm not sad about that. My wife doesn't like for me to talk about these things. She told me after I said last week that she was a pessimist, she reminded me she really was, and she was a realist. And so I think about these things from a realistic standpoint. You know, we make preparation. At least I hope we do, and if you haven't, I hope you will. We make out wills. We do medical powers of attorney. We get our grave plots. We put our cemeteries, our stones out. We try to prepare things for that day is coming for all of us. And, you know, it seems like that as you get a little bit older, you always pick up those obituaries and look at them. And one by one, if you, Lord has blessed you to give you a number of years, one by one, you see those that you've grown up with, those that you worked with, those that you labored in church with, you see them one by one dropping off and going either to be with the Lord, or if they've not left behind a testimony, it leaves you wondering certainly what the end will be for them. But the one assurance that we have through it all is that the Lord will be just in His dealing with all those that stand before Him, and I take great comfort in that. And so I think about those things. I've still got my strength fairly well for 68, almost 68, and I'm thankful for that. But I see it, I feel it, going away little by little. I've been here in my sixth year now, and I've seen we've had to bury a few of our elderly ones, and that's always painful. I've seen just the years upon all of us, including myself, began to take its toll. I look at the difficulties that I know that Sister Lisa is going through right now with her parents. I've already gone through that with my mom. Some of you have gone through the same thing. I know Brother Bo's mom and Sister Janie's mom. It's a difficult time when that we have to see our elderly parents go through those things. And it's a reminder to all of us that that is the way of life. It is the way of death. It is the way of earth. And certainly we will go through those things. And I think for me, one of the things that I don't want is to be a burden. I don't want to get to that point where that I'm a burden on my children or upon anyone else. And I know we all say that. My mother said that. She said, I don't want to be a burden. I want you to put me in somewhere where that I can be taken care of. But when she got to that point, see, she didn't remember those things. And you see things come out. My mother was always one of the sweetest people, just got along with people and loved them. Never, ever contrary in her life at all. But age began to take its toll, and those things that we try to avoid many times in our lives, they plague us. And, you know, that we don't want to be that way. And I know we all think about those things, and that's kind of where my thoughts are this morning. The title of my lesson, of my message, and I'm going to read the 71st Psalm. The title of my lesson this morning is, We Are a Wonder Unto Many. We are a wonder unto many. And I had to give you the background of this, and I'm going to do that after I read this psalm. But the 71st Psalm is sometimes known as the Psalm of the Aged, because it's likely that David wrote this psalm. This is the last psalm. If you look in your Bible, it doesn't have a heading on it as to who wrote it. But internally, there's lots of indications that David wrote this. And it was probably written in the latter years of his life, when he had reached an older age. David, the Bible tells us that David was 30 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned for 40 years. And so he was 70 years old when he passed away. And if you read beginning in the first book of Kings, in 1 Kings, in the first chapter, it opens up with David in his old age and some of the infirmities that he was experiencing and some difficulties that he was going through. And I don't know when he would have written this psalm, but there were many difficulties David had in his life. Some of them were of his own making. Some of them was because of choices, decisions that he had made early on in life. And he suffered from those things. And I think perhaps many of those might have been the cause of why he wrote this psalm. But I'd just like to read the whole psalm. I'm going to take my text from the seventh verse, but I think it's important just to read the whole psalm. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked and out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been beholden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the days of my life. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is nobody to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." It's very likely that David wrote this psalm in the latter years of his life because some of his greatest trials came in the latter years of his life. When David committed that great sin with Bathsheba, that was a sin and a situation of his own making. He suffered for it. He never lost his salvation, but he lost his joy of his salvation. If you read the 51st Psalms, you'll see the anguish that he went through and the humble condition that it brought him into as he repented to the Lord, that the Lord might return the joy of his salvation. And as part of that, when the Lord confronted him with that great sin, he told him that the child, which was conceived, would die. And he said, the sword shall not depart from thy family. In other words, you're going to have family problems the rest of your life. And he did. And from that point on, as you read about David, you find out that there was lots of family problems. And this was as he was getting into his old age. Most of us are familiar with the time in which that Absalom, the son that he loved greatly, tried to steal the kingdom away from him. Turned all the people's hearts away from David toward himself that he might exalt himself as king. He even drove David out of Jerusalem at one point. Eventually it cost Absalom his life, and that grieved David's heart to lose the son that he loved so much. Perhaps that was one of the things that he was going through as he wrote this. I tend to think it was later on in life. I tend to think it was one of those later years, which you can read about in the first, second, and third chapter of 1 Kings, where David was old. He'd gotten so old that it tells us in 1 Kings that that they covered him with clothing, but they couldn't keep him warm. I think most of us who have, and I noticed that in my own body, and my wife can tell you that, you know, when I was young, I didn't even own a long sleeve shirt until I was over 40 years old. But now I can't seem to get warm. I'm cold. My feet are cold. And, you know, it just doesn't take much to chill me. And that's a sign of old age. And that was a condition that David got into, and they couldn't keep him warm. And so you can read the story. And so the only way they could keep him warm was they searched through the kingdom. And they found a young maiden by the name of Abishag who was willing to give up her entire future to come and be a wife to the king that she might lay with him in the bed to keep him warm. And there's a whole story that develops from that. And because of her, and because of that, she loved us as she loved David. And she was happy to serve that part of her life, to take care of him in his old age. But you see, at that time, once that a young lady became either a wife or a concubine, they could never go to anyone else. And so when David died, she was doomed to a life of being a widow, never to know children, and that's no doubt the outcome of it. But I think of the love that she must have had for David and how that it must have been for him. And while he was in that elderly condition, he had another son named Adonijah. And Adonijah, seeing that his father was going to die and that David had already promised to give the throne to Solomon, his son by Bathsheba, he had already promised the throne to Solomon. And Adonijah caused a rebellion and gathered all the army, the head of the army, which was Joab, gathered them all together. He got the priests. He got all the leaders of the government together. And he took them to a place away from Jerusalem and gave a great feast and declared himself to be king. And all the supporting people of the government basically rebelled against David and went with Adonijah, except for a couple of the main leaders and the high priest. And it was come and it was told to David by Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet is the same one who had to come to David at one time and tell him about the sin with Bathsheba and confronted him with it. And it caused David to repent. And now Nathan, who was a loyal, true friend to David, came and told him the situation of what had happened, that your child, your son, Adonijah, has rebelled against you, and he's tried to rip the kingdom away from you, establish himself as king, and this was a great grief to David. And so David took the action to establish Solomon on the throne, to declare him as king, and to turn over the throne to him even before that he had died. And all this was caused by difficulties in his life. And indeed, if this psalm was written at that time, you can imagine the anguish that David was going through. And his old age, looking back over his life, and the troubles that he had, and he had many, the difficulties, Saul had tried to kill him at one time, many things, but he always said, looking back, that the Lord had delivered him from those things, that the Lord had been with him, and that even in the midst of all this, his trust was in the Lord. You know, that's the kind of life that we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. It's not the one that's emotional all at one point and then you go another direction, but it's that slow, steady, turtle pace, if you will, where that constantly throughout all the ups and downs of your life, throughout those difficult periods, throughout the joyful periods, all of those periods that you've trusted in the Lord, that's the kind of condition that you want to be in when you reach old age. When you get to the age that David is talking about here, and you can look back, because I can tell you that, and most of you that are starting to get a few years on you, and I'm not being critical certainly at all, but you know that a lot of your life is spent looking backwards and remembering the high points, the good points, and unfortunately sometimes the sad points and difficult points of your life. And so as the elderly, it's those memories that keep us going. And what a blessing to be able to remember and say that I know the Lord was with me in this difficulty. I know He delivered me from it. I know I've got more difficulties ahead of me. And I trust in Him that He will deliver me through those as well. That's what David was saying. You see, the young, they have everything to look forward to them. It's hope that keeps them going because that they're looking forward. But certainly at a point in all of our life, we begin to see life in the rearview mirror a whole lot more than we look out the front at going forward. And it's at those times that we can take comfort in knowing that even in these difficulties, that the Lord is our strength. And that's what David is saying here. He's saying, I know that you'll deliver me. Don't let me, in my old age, get to the point where that I ever bring any shame upon you, where that my actions, where the things that I do or the things that I say would detract from you. That's one of the greatest desires of my life, and I know that it can happen in old age. I know that you can begin to lose your faculties, not only your sight and your hearing and those things, but your mind begins to lose its grasp of reality. The things that would never come out of your mouth might come out of your mouth because that you're no longer in control of those things. And that was David's worry here. He didn't want to ever bring reproach upon the Lord in his old age. He prayed that God would give him grace in his old age to honor him. And I don't think that there's any greater honor that one can bring to the Lord than in our old age, when our hair is gray or gone or whatever, that we can still honor God to the next generation. That's what David said right here. He said, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. That's what we want our grandchildren to see. We want our grandchildren to see that our strength is in the Lord. We want this generation to know what God has done for us, and that in spite of the valleys, in spite of the difficulties, the sorrows, and the things that we go through in this life, and I'm telling you that I don't know whether any of our lives could ever be as difficult as David's was. And yet, through it all, even when Nathan, the prophet, confronted him with his great sin of murdering Uriah and committing adultery with Bathsheba, David never blamed God. He just praised God and said, God, you have kept me from all of mine enemies. He repented of those things and he exalted God. And that's my prayer for all of us in our declining years is that we will be able to demonstrate to this next generation and proclaim all the good things that God has done and continues to do for us. I said that the title of my lesson, and I'm not going to be very much longer, I said the title of my lesson was, "We are a wonder unto many." And I took that from this seventh verse where David says that. "I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge." That word wonder is like a prodigy. In other words, I'm like someone who is a puzzle. They can't figure out, and seem to have all. They don't understand why or how that he's been delivered from all of these things. They don't understand that after all of the difficulties and all the troubles and the things that he went through, how that that he could still show such favor and love and praise to God. And you know, when people look at us as Christians, particularly if we're old Christians, and we've tried to be faithful throughout all of our lives, people will look at us and they'll wonder about us. They wonder, why do they go to church? Why is it that Grandma and Grandpa every Sunday morning get up when they don't feel like it and they get ready and they go there to church? Why do they do that? You see, they look at us many times and wonder. Our neighbors wonder. Well, why don't you, today's a beautiful day, why don't you go out on your boat? Or why don't you mow your yard? Or why don't you do this? They wonder why that we're not into the things of the world, and why it is that we still get up on Sunday morning and we go to church. That's because that this is where that we find an opportunity to praise God. We find an opportunity to lift Him up with our songs, as David said he would do with the psaltery and with the harp. We have a time to lift Him up in our singing and our testimony. We have a time to thank Him for His many blessings upon us. It's an opportunity for us. And they look at us and they wonder and they scratch their head in amazement because that they might look and say, well, they've had a lot of difficulties in their life. Maybe they've had a child who has deserted and the Lord and gone their own way. Maybe they've got other difficulties, financial difficulties or whatever. But yet they still get up and go to church. And so many look at us and they wonder. I'm sure that many look and wonder why that we put so much trust in this book. I mean, science tries to discredit it. Science tells us there's nothing to that. Men have tried from the beginning of time, I believe, to discredit the Word of God. And that comes from Satan. And those who put their trust in science and put their trust in intellectual knowledge, they look at us and they say, how can you be so foolish as to believe that book? And to believe those moral teachings that are in there, that you say that are in there. And I know that our young people, especially, they go to school and you know they try to take a moral stand, or they try to set an example. And their peers make fun of them, they mock them, they think they're foolish for believing what the Bible says and trying to follow what the Bible says, a guide to our life. And so many look at that and they wonder why that we even bother and why that we believe that. And so we're a wonder unto many. They just can't figure us out. They just can't figure it out. Just like people in David's time couldn't figure him out. They couldn't figure out how he'd come so far in life. I mean, he was just a poor shepherd boy. You talk about the American dream. He lived that dream in life. He was a poor shepherd boy who did nothing but take care of sheep. And what did he do? God raised him to be the king over the greatest nation on earth at that time. You see, they looked at him and said, how did this happen? Well, he says, it happened because I put my trust in you. He said that they wonder at me, but thou art my refuge. You're the one that I've gone to. You're the one who sheltered me. You're the one who's promoted me. You're the one who's brought all these things about in my life. And so he gave the honor to where it belonged. People look at us and they wonder why that we dress differently. Why it is that we don't want our daughters dressing so skimpily. Skimpily when they go out into the world, showing their bodies off. Every billboard you look at, every advertisement you see, everything out there is centered around sexuality and promoting the particularly the female body, and it's getting that pretty much about the male body as well. And they look at us Christians, and you know, we don't try to draw attention to our bodies by showing them and revealing them and dressing lewdly. That's what Peter or Paul rather says, that women are not to adorn themselves as though trying to draw attention to themselves, but they're to adorn themselves in humbleness and humility, and that goes for us men as well. And so you know, they wonder, why do they dress differently? Well, that's because we have a different view of life. We have a different view of what that these bodies are for. They're to be the temple of God, that God might be seen through us in the rest of the world, not that we might draw attention to ourselves. And so we perceive things from a different perspective. And people wonder at us and they scratch their head. They wonder why that we don't go the same places that they go. They wonder why we don't go down to the bar, why we don't go to the for the young people, the raves that are going on, or all the various things that are out there. Why don't you go there? And you see, that's one of the first things that you notice, that your friends will notice after you've been saved, if you're very old when you get saved, is that the places you used to go, you don't want to go anymore. The things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. They no longer have an attraction for you. And so people scratch their heads and they wonder why that we don't go to places that we used to. That's because those places don't have an attraction for us anymore. The Lord has delivered us from those things. They look and wonder why that we run our homes differently. Why that we try to keep the home as the center of where that we can teach our children about the Lord. Where that we try to maintain peace and we try to maintain honor. That we don't want our homes dysfunctional. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have difficulties in our home, but we try to run our homes differently. That's why that we believe that a home ought to be made up of a man and a woman, and that marriage is sacred, and that's the basis of who we are, and we can't drift from that just because the world goes that way. And so they look at us and they wonder, and they make fun of us. They criticize us. They say that we're prejudiced. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. I've worked over the years with a number of gay folks, and they were good workers. I didn't try to make an issue out of it. I didn't gay bash them or anything. But I didn't support that lifestyle. I still don't support it. And that was long before that we moved to the point of gay marriage. Folks that were different because that we are different. We have a different perspective on things. And we should, as David did. People look at us and they wonder many things about us. They wonder why we talk about Jesus all the time. Or hopefully that we at least talk about Him some. That's because He's the reason and the salvation that was secured for us and given to us. That's what gives us joy. That's what gives us hope. Our hope rests in Him. It doesn't rest in this life, because we know what the end of this life is. It's old age. It's all the infirmities. It's all of those things that come with old age. And if you don't have the Lord in old age, what do you have to look forward to? You don't have anything to look forward to. The other thing that people wonder, and this is what David was talking about, they wonder if our religion will last. Oh yeah, so-and-so got saved. I wonder if that'll last. I wonder if they'll, when things really get tough, if they'll stick with the Lord, if they'll stick with those things. You see, David did. He stuck with the Lord no matter what. He said that, "You've been my refuge from the time of my youth. You've taught me by experience that I can count on you even when I'm down." And he says in one of those verses that, "You shall deliver me and raise me up from the lowest part of the earth." Meaning that when I'm in one of those low valleys, when my family's turned against me like Adonijah and Absalom had, when that all of those who are my friends have deserted me, that's in that song we just sang, when all my friends have deserted me, You see, all of David's friends deserted him. Joab, the captain of his army, deserted him. All those around him deserted him. They told lies about him. Some of those who did love him, people come in and undermine them. I mean, on every side, David had people turning against him. But in spite of all of that, he said, I find my refuge in the Lord. I take my strength from the Lord. And when those times come, stand by me. Stand by me and give me strength. When my life faculties begin to fail, when my friends desert me because I don't go to the places they want to go anymore, because I don't do the things that they want to do, when that family deserted me and turned against me, when all of these things have happened and I've reached that old age where that all those infirmities have come upon me, stand by me. And keep me in thy strength. That was David's prayer. That's my prayer as well. And I hope this morning, I pray this morning that our little ones, this next generation and the next generation that we're starting to see come along, that he'll allow us and give us the grace to honor him, to praise him, to lift him up. That they will see in us that our trust is in the Lord. That's the memory we want to leave behind for them. Well, that's what when they talk about us at a later stage down the line, not for our glory. David didn't try to take any of this glory for himself. He says, it's because of you. It's because of you that these great and wonderful things have happened. It's because of you that I've been delivered out of all the trials and troubles, many of them self-made. It's because of you. And he said, all I want is to be able to give strength to this next generation. I want to prepare them so that they will look to you, so that they will honor you, and they will find the same strength in you that I found in you. And that's our prayer this morning. I'm going to ask Sister Sandra, Sister Paulette, if they'll come. It blessed my heart to see the little ones up here singing this morning. That's why Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The little children, you see, they don't have any malice. They don't have any harm. They don't have any hurt for others in their heart at all. They just want love. And they believe. They trust. They trust in us as parents. Don't ever let them down. Don't ever let them down. And they trust in us as grandparents. And so our job is to leave them a good testimony of what the Lord has done for us in our lives. I'm finished. I appreciate your attention this morning.